GAA programme with Tom Comack is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Get behind Donegal in 2017 and gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Gee, because Falchuk because Ian Clark coming Luke Claskeel and a shock to the show with me, Tom Comack. And well, coming up tonight, and indeed I got an idea there, maybe we should some night just play all football songs from all the counties involved. Jimmy Stafford getting us in the move there. My thanks to Jimmy. And well, coming up in tonight's programme, we'll be joined shortly by Brian McAniff to reflect on what it was like walking out on St. Jernox Park in Clonus again last Sunday at the Ulster final. Of course, Donegal, the 25 years anniversary team, honoured last Sunday at the final. We'll also get Brian's views on what he made of the Ulster final meeting of Tyrone and Down, and what in particular he makes of Tyrone and their prospects of going forward. That's all to come up tonight on the GAA programme a little later. And of course, as always, we'd love to hear from you if you have anything you want to say, or any text messages for us, or maybe any songs that we can put together of counties in future times. But we're not going to turn into a request show though. 086 60 25000, that's the text. And if you want to text us from the north of Ireland or from outside the dialing area, it's 086 60 25000. And I want to say a special hello to all our listeners on the World Wide Web on www.highlandradio, listening to us right across the world tonight. Believe it or not, we have quite a lot of listeners right across there. And of course, again, we have the playback facility on the programme if you missed any. We'll tell you a little bit later about that. But first tonight, we're joined by Seamus O'Donnell, who is the Donegal Central Council representative of the GAA, and also the Ulster GAA's representative, management representative on the management committee in Croke Park. And Brian joins us to, or Seamus joins us to give details of the latest initiative which has been introduced by the GAA, and that's the One Club. The One Club initiative is aimed at bringing ladies Gaelic football and the Camogie Association under the one umbrella.
Well, Seamus, first of all, delighted you could join us, and we want to talk to you about this new initiative by Croke Park and this One Club. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about it, what it's about.
Absolutely, Tom. And the One Club guideline, which has been brought about by GAA, the Ladies Camogie Association and the Ladies Gaelic Football Association, is basically a template or a guideline for clubs to incorporate the three different, I suppose, fragments of the association together. Everybody thinks of the GAA as one family, whereby you have Camogie, football, hurling and ladies football all in together. But the actual fact is somewhat different. And clubs will know that very well so, because there are different, be it from injury schemes, be it from funding schemes, be it a whole plethora of different ideas. But what has actually happened now is that Pádraic Duffy, on behalf of the GAA, Helen O'Rourke on behalf of the LGFA, and indeed the Camogie Association, have come together and they've set out a set of guidelines that retain the, I suppose, the tradition of all of the three fragments of the association. But what they actually do is put a pathway in place to allow for clubs to set about that would be one executive in charge of the club, that the Ladies Association and the Camogie Association retain their rights within that club, that the finances are looked after by one member of that club, that being the treasurer, and that every facet of that club then works into one central organisation. And another big factor then is that it will allow and maintain for memberships of the three associations to be equalised, so that whether you're an underage lady or a senior lady, or whether you're a footballer or an inter-county footballer, your membership to the association would be the same. And it also allows that the coaching level given to, particularly when we talk about schools, whereby we may have had somebody from the GAA going in and coaching only football, it has now been promoted that ladies football, that Camogie, that hurling, as well as men's football, be promoted within the schools. And I believe that would be a very good departure for the GAA and the association as a whole.
Most people listening will think, you know, sure, that's in place already. I know most clubs would kind of, well, operate the One Club. Maybe there's different bodies that report it, but I know from my own club, Dunloe, and I know the most clubs, I don't know any club that certainly in ladies football and in men's football have separate clubs.
You're 100% correct, Tom, and indeed Donegal would be one of the stronger counties in the integration and how the involvement would happen, and the equal rights of men's and ladies' games within the clubs. But what this is actually doing is bringing the three heads of the associations together, and it's showing that there may be a pathway forward which would allow for one central association to be in charge of all of the disciplines, be it camogie, ladies football or GAA. And I think that's where it's happening on the ground in Donegal and in other counties. The association and the volunteers always looked after all facets of the club, but when it went up to the hierarchy of the different associations, there was always a split agenda. And if you're thinking it from a practical point of view, wouldn't it be lovely to have ladies football as curtain raisers for Donegal games or Camogie games as curtain raisers, where you would have a large volume of spectators and afford the same opportunity to the ladies at both club and county level as is afforded to the men. And likewise, anything that the ladies are doing, the men could learn from. At least that knowledge sharing can now happen. But you're right, what's happened in Donegal is now being replicated at a national level, and it will all go good going forward. And I hope that the momentum that has been gained with this document can be built upon and driven forward to allow for the one association to be in place in the years ahead.
It would seem to be the most sensible route to go. You know, I know the Ladies Association was formed after many years, and is a pretty young organisation at national level. But it would seem to be the most logical way to go.
Well, absolutely, and what we currently are doing within the country is that all facilities are being shared by Camogie Ladies Games and Men's Games. So it's only, I suppose, an administration task that must happen to bring everything under the one umbrella and to give everybody an equal opportunity and an equal right. Indeed, at underage games, we know it up till under 12s in this county and indeed in many other counties, boys and girls play games together and they are then separated or segregated post the age of 12, and they then form the LGFA and the GAA. So, of course, it is a sensible, rational thing to do to bring the association together and to allow for the GAA to have under its umbrella grouping that the LGFA and the Camogie Association be part of the GAA. And I think this is bringing that a step closer. As I say, it is, I do firmly believe, an administration issue, and it's something that this document, the One Club Guideline, will go some way in addressing, and it may put pressure on the powers that be in Croke Park and in other places to bring about that small change that is required, but will make massive positive leaps forward for the whole association if it can be brought about.
And what's the feedback? How has it gone down, say, at grassroots levels, or indeed probably more at top tables in different counties?
Well, I suppose at grassroots level in Donegal, very much so the sentiment expressed by yourself, whereby you were of the opinion that this was already happening within clubs. Clubs will not and do not see this as a big change, whereas at senior tables and at large tables in Croke Park, this is seen as a massive positive step forward, because it's effectively meaning that the one administration could be in charge of the three facets of the association, that whether you want to speak to somebody in Croke Park about ladies football, about Camogie, or about men's football or hurling, that you speak to the one person, whereas currently there are three different people answering three different telephones dealing with the same issue effectively. So it will cut down administration costs. It would allow for a better grasp of rules to be, I suppose, more consistent throughout all of the associations. For instance, we know that we have Hawkeye now in men's football. We know that in the ladies' game, for instance, they pick the ball off the ground, and that is legal. But it might bring about a little change in all of the associations whereby the same rules would apply. It may not. It may be determined that the stay as is, but at least it will bring about a better administration, a clearer route, and even if somebody gets injured within clubs, there are different insurance practices in place for ladies than there are for men. And things like that cause, I'm not saying controversy, but they cause the administrators in those clubs that little bit more hassle. And when we talk about volunteers, and we talk about people giving up their time freely, as an association, we should be trying to ensure that every effort is made to make their lives easier. And I believe that going forward, if the One Club Guideline is implemented, and if the powers that be at top table level agree to come together, that it will make the life of the volunteer and the association better, and indeed bigger for everyone.
Is the next step, Seamus, the One County Board?
Well, that's a decision, I suppose. I'm a member of Donegal County Board, so I wouldn't want to be influencing or telling any other.
But is that the ultimate objective?
I would have thought that it is the ultimate objective, that the first thing will have to be that fixtures will be drawn up by one CCC, and then you'll effectively have one county board dealing with men's, ladies and camogie fixtures.
And that filters straight all the way up to provincial and national level.
Provincial and on to national, that you effectively have one president of one association, that you effectively have one arts juror, and see how that works out. But it may take a number of years for that to happen. I'm very much aware that in Donegal, the same volunteers are working diligently in the men's game as are in the ladies' game. So it would be, I suppose, a welcome opportunity for all people involved if this could be brought about, particularly when we see our men doing so well currently in Donegal, and indeed our ladies, if anything, surpassing the prowess of our men currently in the, on the football field. And it's something that where knowledge could be shared among managements, where knowledge could be shared among administrations, it will lead to a more knowledgeable, a better base, and indeed more volunteers to be able to work within the whole association, rather than, I suppose, some people thinking they're working for one facet of it while others are thinking they're working for another. So if people look and all pull together in the one direction, it will make for a stronger, better association.
Look, at Seamus, we'll watch it with interest, and thank you again for joining us.
Good evening to you, Tom.
That's certainly interesting, the One Club initiative, and well, certainly a lot of work and a lot of work still to be done on that one. But it only, I would imagine, most people would think it'd be common sense that all the GAA associations would be under the one body, the one umbrella. And but quite a bit of work to do on it. If you've any thoughts on that, indeed, or if maybe if you object to that, we'd love to hear from you on 086 60 25000. And of course, you can also text us from outside the dialing code area if you're texting from the north of Ireland or from abroad. It's 00353 86 60 25000. It's the new programme here on a Wednesday night on Highland Radio with me, Tom Cormack. And our congratulations to Tyrone, who are Ulster champions once again. Pretty comprehensive victory over Down on Sunday, 217 to 15 points. That's how that final ended. And Tyrone with back-to-back titles. A sixth title for Mickey Hart in his term as manager. Dublin, of course, they're in All-Ireland champions. Won a seventh Ulster, or a seventh Leinster crown on Sunday against Kildare, 223 to 117, that one. And Derry are Ulster minor champions again. Our congratulations to Damien McAuleen and his team. Certainly they were one of the favourites from very early on, and they proved too strong for Cavan on Sunday. So that's two finals, two Ulster championship titles in 3 years. Certainly it would seem that things are going in the right direction at underage in Donegal or in Derry. And I see Damien's name linked with the vacant Derry senior job. It'll be interesting to see if he allows his name to go forward from that. Well, the Tyrone Club Fintana Pierces, they are actually running a golf classic later in the year. They unveiled plans about it a couple of weeks ago. I was up at the launch. I spoke to their chairman, Pat McEntee.
Well, Pat McEntee, chairman of Fintana Pierce's Club, you're running your golf classic, and maybe you tell us a little bit about it, because it's a golf classic with a difference.
Well, you could say it's a golf classic with a twist. It's probably been a unique idea that has come up through our subcommittees, where basically we have teamed together with the McKillar Foundation, which we're very close. I've certainly bits about the McKillar Foundation, you would also know anyway, and through Mickey Hart, and also the foundation was set up in memory of his daughter, Michaela. Again, this golf classic is going to be slightly different. It's given a twist where we have 26 All-Ireland medalists from all over Ireland representing within the four provinces. The great Sean O'Neill is already on board. We have Oisin McConville, we have Peter Canavan, we Igblinney, and we have a number of other big names that will be announced over the coming weeks. Again, most people run golf classics. This one here's just run as a twist, and it's an honour and a privilege to be associated with the Michaela Hart Foundation, and we're looking forward to it.
And how is it going to run? You say you're going to have 26. Does that mean you've got 26 teams?
We have 26 teams out on the day, and there'll be 26 All-Ireland winners who will captain each team, and then the teams will be made up with three ball teams coming in, so it's a four ball competition. It'll be run very like a pro-am. Again, I think this is a first probably in Ireland in relation to running golf classics, and we would hope and we would know that it will be a huge success on the day.
When is it on?
It's in the 23rd of October. It'll be run here end of hopefully the football season.
You might have a few more All Ireland medalists in Tyrone by then.
we would hope to have quite a few, at least 30, if not more. But definitely, it'll be one to remember. Mm. Again, associated through with our centenary year. We were established in 1907. We were actually footballs. Established in 1907 in Fintna, and the Fintna Pearces were born in 1917, and obviously were named after Padraig Pearce as well.
Yeah. And tell me, want to join a team, or can come individually, or can we book team places?
Certainly we would look at it from the point of view that you would book a team place. It's a 3-member team. Places are going to be limited. It would be very easy. You can contact myself through Facebook, through the Fintan Pierce's GA Facebook page, or you can contact me directly on 0775 840 486.
Yeah.
Contact Fintan Golf Club here as well, and they will take your booking and reservation as well.
Yeah. Pat McEntee there, chairman of the Fintan the Pearces Club, on that novel golf classic, which they have 26 captains, all Ireland winners, and that's on the 23rd of October, I think, at the Fintan Golf Club. So if you're interested, certainly in putting a team in, I expect we heard a couple of names mentioned there, like Peter Canavan and Greg Blaney and Sean O'Neill mentioned as captain of teams, and a few more expected in the next couple of weeks. If you're interested in putting in a team, you heard the details there from Pat, and Pat's telephone number again is 0777. That's 0777 5840 486. And of course, if you want to dial from the Republic of Ireland, it's 0044 777 5840 486. Remember, coming up shortly, we'll be hearing from Brian McAniff on what he made of the Ulster final last Sunday. That's the meeting of Tyrone and Down, of course, which Tyrone retained the Ulster title with another victory last Sunday. Pretty comprehensive it was in the end. And of course, Brian was there with the Donegal 1992 team, who are this 25th anniversary celebratory team. We'll hear how we got on that as well, and how they were treated by all those Down and Tyrone fans. But that's just coming up right after these. Well, we're into the last 10 or 12 minutes, and I'd like to see him joined by Brian McAniff, the All-Ireland winning Donegal manager from 1992. And of course, Brian and the Donegal team were honoured and were the 25th anniversary senior team at the Ulster final last Sunday. Brian, delighted to have you as always. We haven't heard from you in a while.
It was a great day, Tom.
How did it go for you?
It was super. There's no other words to describe it. I suppose it started with the boys being fitted out with the best of McGee Taylor, which was on their jerseys in 1992. Lovely suits, shorts, ties and shoes. We were all looking very, very well. And it started that morning with breakfast in McGee's, coach then to Clonus. And then at halftime, the presentation and the medals, which were just beautiful, and then back to Monaghan. Unfortunately, I couldn't get to Monaghan due to a political appointment in Donegal Town. But otherwise, I got back to Donegal Town and had a very good night there afterwards. And looking forward to the All-Ireland final now at this stage.
Yeah, of course, that's next up.
Next up, we're going to Dublin on the Saturday, and we're staying 2 nights in Dublin, you know, so it'll be quite a social weekend for us.
Yeah.
No pressure on anyone.
Yeah, and of course, obviously, that was a big breakthrough year, wasn't it? 1992, it had been quite a long time coming, but certainly, I think those footballers and yourself are held in very high esteem and held dearly by many Donegal followers.
Well, you know, it's only when you meet the boys again there last weekend, Tom, that you realise what a great set of lads they were. You know, there was a great bond and a great loyalty to each other in that squad of players, and that has persisted down the 25-year period. And long may it continue, because the Dundalk County Pride at the time, it was a great occasion. And ironically, last night I was watching Sky and what came up but the All-Ireland 1990 final, when we could have made the breakthrough when Cork played Meath, and it brought back a lot of memories. And it was a game, you know, that we didn't really perform that well against Meath, and we had the capacity, I suppose, to go on at that stage maybe and do a somewhat better. But Meath were a strong force at the time, and their physical strength wore us down on that particular day. But they're a great set of boys, Tom. That's all I could say about them.
And of course, Mickey, you've done it all, Tom. We had Tony Boyle on a couple of weeks ago telling us about the day and the celebrations and all that's planned. And obviously, McGee of Donegal Town have come on board again. A very generous sponsorship.
I couldn't say enough about McGee's first approach to McGee family in 1973-74 with the late Frank Muldoon, when we were going to Wembley first and then on to New York, and I still have the jacket that still fits me, Tom, such is the quality of the product that the McGee people produce. But Lynn Temple and his daughter were more than welcoming, and when Philip McLean, my brother-in-law, who was appointed by the county chairman to run the occasion for us over the next 6 months, we went and done a presentation. He was only too willing and able to come forward and kit us out as we were last Sunday. I was very proud to be there in my McGee's suit, and I would encourage the people that are listening here in Donegal, when they're buying the product, support your own Donegal. They're a great firm.
Yeah, and you look particularly well. Anyway, Brian, the clock is coming to get a bit against us. Obviously, the centrepiece on Sunday was the final meeting of Tyrone and Down, Tyroning adding titles back to back. What did you make of the final first?
The first half was a disappointing final, and the second half it showed the disparity between Division 1 and Division 2. Tyrone are an awesome power, Tom. Let's be fair about it. There's Dublin, there's Kerry, and now the Tyrone have joined in a third. They've jumped over Mayo, there's no doubt about that. They're a good side, Tom. They're very well structured defensively, and up front they're kicking a lot of points. Maybe they got a couple of goals last Sunday, but that wasn't a great down defence. But they are a good side, Tom, and they've well improved this year, and they'll tighten either Dublin or Kerry at the latter stages of the championship.
And what is it about them that impressed you?
They've got physically stronger, Tom, and Mickey has them working very, very well at the back. Their capacity to break from the defence to attack. That new young centre halfback Hampsey, I think he's from Cull Island, has been a big addition to them. And Colm Calvin is playing better than he ever has here before. And Matty Donnelly is staying on the pitch. Heretofore, he's been getting black cards, yellow cards, red cards, and he is playing out of his skin. And of course, Peter Hart, they're the driving forces, and Sean Cavan is the captain and leads from the front. So they've a good setup, Tom, and they won't be easy to beat. And fair credit to Mickey for rebuilding a team over the last number of years.
Yeah, and tell me, how close are they? Are they genuine contenders?
They're genuine contenders, Tom. They're a team that could beat that Dublin team, believe it or not. They mightn't find it as easy to beat Kerry for some reason, but I think they're the sort of side that could take on Dublin at this particular time. But there's no doubt about they're an awesome force. Their physical strength has grown immeasurably over the last 12 months, but their pace and the pace to break, Tom, is to be seen to be believed. And any team that's kicking 20 points per game, you know, they're going to be hard to beat, Tom.
Yeah. Pat Spillane on the Sunday game just had the one critique of them, probably not scoring enough goals.
Yeah, well, that was the point I was making, you know, up until this, they're not scoring enough goals. In fact, it was the young Ronan O'Neill, who's a very talented player, but not consistently talented, you know, not showing his talents consistently, I should say.
Why is he not making the team?
He's not consistent, Tom. You know, he does great things. There's no doubt, like his chip at the keeper there was to be seen to be believed. But, like, there's more than that to it, and even from Oma and Sinella's point of view, like, he should be doing a lot better than he is. But he is an awesome talent if he could continue to be, you know, more consistent.
11 points win over Derry, 9 over Donegal, and 9 last Sunday over Down. Does Tyrone really know how good they are?
Not yet. They haven't really been tested, Tom, but that doesn't get away from the fact that they're a good side, Tom. Hmm. They have come along quite, as I said, in a physical sense, a long way, but also their capacity to take a lot of score. And they're not, you know, when you amass 20 points, Tom, and you have a good defence, you won't be easy beaten.
Anyway, just moving on to more pressing matters, of course, Donegal hoping to get back into the ring getting back into the ring and hoping to get back into the mix on Saturday evening, taking on Galway and Sligo.
Yes, and we've good record over the last number of years. I'm wrecking my brain, but I can't remember Galway beating us in competitive football since 1983, Tom. But there's a whole different ball game here on Saturday. Galway have some talented forwards, plus the big lad at full forward, Comer. and he will give us a lot of problems. And they have a reasonably good midfield, but it's at the back we should be fit to punch holes, Tom. And with Paddy McBurty in the form that he is, and if we can get Murphy forward a wee bit more often than he is, I can see us. I can't see them holding us. And on top of that, Tom, they took a right dressing. And psychologically, over the years, the defeated provincial champions haven't done well in the back door. And I would find it very hard to believe that Galway can lift themselves out of that terrible beat that they got against Roscommon.
Yeah, and Donegal showed the signs. People weren't at all convinced after watching them against Longford. A little bit more convinced, I think, in Navan against Meath.
Yes, that was a good... And I must say, Tom, I really enjoyed that night. They showed a great bit of spirit there. Because Meath, although they're not a good side, Tom, they're a tough side and they're hard to beat. And they put it up to us there on the night. But I love the way the Donegal lads reacted to it. I think, you know, the six, seven new lads that have come into this the side have brought a freshness. But they need a lot more experience, and hopefully that we can win this match on Saturday. I expect we will, which will give them further experience, Tom, because they will, as they build themselves up, become a very good side over the next couple of years, and the same as Tyrone have done.
Yeah, well, of course, Mayo and Cork are the other qualifier on Saturday evening at the Limerick Gaelic Grounds.
Well, Mayo are slow starters this year, Tom, and I'm not quite as convinced as I was that they're the force that they were. But be that as it may, they're still, you know, there in the top four. And I think they'll have too much for Cork, and Cork has shot a very good player called Coakley there, and he'll be a big loss because they don't seem to have an abundance of talent in Cork like they usually have. So I do expect that Mayo should be fit to get over this hurdle and push on from there, but they still have this problem up front, Tom. They're not having enough forwards.
And as you see it, we saw Dublin win another Leinster 7 in a row. What do you make? You mentioned, was it Dublin, Kerry, Tyrone? Is that how you see it? Or is
Dublin, Kerry, Tyrone, Mayo with the top four, Tom. Let's be fair about it. There's no point in us going behind the ditch and seeing, and we're just in the department below that, but improving, Tom. And that's the way things are as we stand on this particular weekend.
Look at Brian, again, as always, lovely to talk to you, and maybe we'll take you on for a little bit longer the next time, but unfortunately the clock has beaten us. That's it, Brian McAniff there joining us from the Holyrood Hotel in Bundoran, of course, looking ahead, reflecting on last weekend's Ulster final, and Donegal's been honoured at the 1992 Donegal team been honoured at the Ulster final, and of course they will be honoured again at the All-Ireland final. That's about it from me for this week. My thanks to Seamus O'Donnell, my thanks to Pat McEntee and to Brian McAniff, and as always to Jimmy Stafford on sound. I'm going to Gian Shockton, the Hogan Slonagas Bannocks.